From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
But it's War of Will coming down to the 16th pole in front. In front by 2 lengths late. A late charge from Longshot Everfast in the inside two, but nothing stood in his way. War of Will won the Preakness.
Bricks and Mortar bumps with March to the Arch, nonetheless closing in with 2.5 lengths to make up and a 16th to go. It's Curbon in front, Clyde's Image. Bricks and Mortar finding stride late in the game, and Bricks and Mortar's up in time.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tacitus is closing through an opening down toward the rail, into the final 16th. It is Tex in front. Tacitus on the inside is second. He's trying to come and get Tex. The Ortiz brothers, Tex on the outside. Tacitus at the rail. And it is Tex and around Ortiz in the Jim Dandy.
And Vino Rosso edging away from Gift Box. He's coming into his own. And Vino Rosso at age 4 goes on to win the Gold Cup at Santa Anita.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Good morning once again, everyone. Welcome to the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, that's Baron and Pontiff, together again. And for the very first time in the roughly 15-year history of the Horse Racing Radio Network, we say welcome to Colonial Downs in Virginia. The very first time we've had the privilege to be here, and it is a gorgeous morning, a gorgeous evening on tap as well for the running of the Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby. It's going to be a special day here at Colonial Downs. And JT, this racetrack right now, just awash in sunshine. There are horses training on that main track. The races tonight, many of them going to be contested on that gorgeous emerald green turf course. We're overlooking the paddock area here. Couldn't be any more perfect for our first trip to Colonial Downs.
Yeah, it's just a picture perfect day, and we've got some horses training on the track, and everybody here is so excited about the day. We've had several people that work here come by and see if they could help us in any way, and everything's just pristine. It looks great. The track is in great shape, and what a beautiful day.
I mean, just
can't beat it.
This whole area, this racetrack, if you've never had the opportunity to be here, put it on your bucket list. It is located in New Kent County, Virginia, which is kind of midway between Richmond and Williamsburg. So there's a lot of history here, too. I'm going to tell you a little story about that here in just a minute. But it opened in 1997, September 1st to be exact. It hosted both thoroughbred and harness racing. Thoroughbred racing was stopped here at Colonial in 2013 because of a dispute between track management and the horsemen's groups. Go figure, right? That never happens in horse racing.
Hardly ever.
Yeah, the harness racing halted 1 year later. And then in 2018, Virginia enacted a law to allow historical racing machines here at the racetrack. And they now have the racing machines here. They have different gaming facilities here at the racetrack. And shortly afterwards, the track was purchased by Revolutionary Racing. That group is from Chicago. They formed the Colonial Downs Group, and then Thoroughbred Racing was resurrected, if you will, resumed here on August 8th of this year. And everybody, not only in the industry, but everybody here in the state of Virginia, excited to have racing back at Colonial Downs.
Yeah, well, it's been a place where people have really enjoyed coming to race, and now that it's back, there's such an excitement. Even, you know, you're in town, people are talking about, oh, going to the races. They're putting on tremendous programs here, not only the horse racing side, but concerts and that kind of thing. They've got a lot of action at this facility, so it's nice to see it being restored to its former glory. And our friend Jill Byrne is a big part of that. She'll be on in a little bit.
Yeah, I had the chance yesterday to take a little walk with my wife, Michelle. We had a little downtime after we got all of our show prep done, and you were on the air with Express Bet Radio. So we took a ride and checked out some of the historic aspects of this area, of Richmond, Virginia. And if people that are historians will know that this is a big Civil War battleground here in Richmond. As a matter of fact, Richmond, Virginia was the capital of the Confederate Army. And Cold Harbor is one of the areas that we got a chance to tour yesterday. We did about a 2.5-mile walk along the trails of the Civil War battleground. And it was really neat to see. I've always wanted to do a Civil War Battleground. I've never had the chance to do it. We never made it to Gettysburg when we went to Charlestown earlier this year. So I said, you know what, we're going to go check this out. And to see, to be standing in an area where so many American soldiers were killed or captured. 18,000 was the total number of men that were killed on those battlegrounds that we were walking around yesterday. It was humbling, and it was really neat to see that little piece of history.
Yeah, that's more people than are actually going to be at the races today, and they're expecting a massive crowd.
Think about that.
You know, I always tell people, what they ask, what's $1 billion? $1 billion is every dollar bet at Santa Anita for the entire meet. If you could take that home, you still wouldn't have $1 billion.
Yeah.
So when you think about, you know, 18,000 men killed on a battlefield, I mean, that's more than this entire crowd that's going to be here today.
And you could still see the trenches that they dug. And keep in mind, they didn't have heavy machinery and equipment to dig these trenches, and it became trench warfare in this particular area. A lot of the battles were conducted in hand-to-hand combat fashion. Of course, they had the guns and the cannons and all those things, but a lot of what took place at this particular battle was hand-to-hand combat in these trenches. And it as I was reading about the history, it said soldiers may have to stay in those trenches for a full week without coming out of these trenches that they dug with their bayonets and with knives and with these old shovels that they had. And they'd have to stay there for at least a week, because if they popped their head up, there would be snipers and sharpshooters ready to blow their head off.
Yeah.
It's amazing when you think back on the history of this nation and what that meant to this nation, and to be standing there was really, really cool.
Yeah, it's a situation where, you know, you don't want to remember it, and you want to remember it all at the same time.
Yeah. Well said. Back to the racing. 10 races on the program here at Colonial for tonight. 4 stakes races, culminating with the $150,000 Virginia Oaks and the $250,000 Grade 3 Virginia Derby. The races 8 and 9, respectively, will have exclusive radio coverage for you beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern time tonight. You will hear both of those races live with us on the network. That coverage presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. And, Jude, 9 horses in each of those races, 9 fillies in the Oaks, 9 boys going postered in the Virginia Derby. Contentious races. I don't know if you have the huge stars in these divisions here, but you have a very, very good group of horses assembled.
Yeah, no, both races are very, very nice, very competitive. They're good betting races, and I think the fans are in for a treat. The whole card is excellent, and looking forward to the racing here tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun, and obviously we talked about the weather already, but it's just going to be a great evening. So everything's ready. They've got all kinds of bars open. The portable bar to our left here is just sensational.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to carry that with me wherever I go. I mean, it is really, really nice, very, very classy. Everything here, they've done such a great job of preparation and getting this place ready, and on very short notice. I mean, they really decided to have this race meeting at the beginning of the year. So,
yep.
You know, you go to some racetracks, and we see a lot of racetracks getting prepared to open their meets and stuff, and the place is just a mess. But they've got everything just down to a T here, and it's just going to be a fantastic night.
Well, here's our poll question. And by the way, we are tweeting out some pictures from Colonial Downs here this morning that you can see on our Twitter feed at HRN on Twitter. The poll question that you can go to our Twitter feed and vote on for today, we'll tie it to the Virginia Derby. Let's do it this way. We'll do a little prop bet, okay? Graham Motion has 3 horses entered in the 9-horse field, the Virginia Derby tonight. Again, race 9, post time, 9 o'clock Eastern. We'll give it. Who wins the Virginia Derby? You can take Graham Motion and his 3 horses, or you can take the field. We'll do it that way. We'll do something
That's
a little
good.
Bit different. So, are you taking Graham Motion or the field? A little bit like Tiger Woods in the field when he was in his heyday, right?
Or Chad Brown in the field.
Chad Brown, the equal to Tiger Woods in the sport of thoroughbred racing right now, right?
Right.
I would have to think so. Yeah. All right, so you take Graham Motion or the field. Who wins today's Virginia Derby? Those are your 2 choices. Let us know. We'll kind of pass along the results as we move throughout the show. And you can weigh in at HRRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Real quick before we get to our first break and tell you what's coming up, it's going to be a busy show. We have several special guests lined up over the next 2 hours. This is not the only venue in the sport that has some big racing on this Labor Day weekend. Up in Saratoga, you have the Grade 1 Woodward as part of a big program there. We will have coverage of the Woodward for you at 5:30 Eastern Time today. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer will bring you that coverage live from Saratoga, so make sure you join us for the first of two broadcasts on the network later today. 5:30 Eastern, Sirius XM 156 is your channel there. So you've got the Woodward. You've got Kentucky Downs with their opening day today. Four stakes races on the program there. You got a big day at Del Mar. I mean, it just continues. This is a huge weekend of racing coast to coast.
Yeah, and continues all the way through Monday. So
yep.
Lots of opportunities for wagering and watching and having fun. So go to your local racetrack and support.
Yep. Head over to our website. Check out the broadcast schedule for this afternoon. One more time before we get to the break. 5:30 Eastern, coverage of the Woodward from Saratoga. 8 o'clock Eastern time, we hit the airwaves here at Colonial Downs. So it's a special HRRN doubleheader for you later this afternoon. We've got you covered all the way through the big races on this Saturday. We'll get to a break. When we come back, we are going to be joined by Jill Byrne, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Colonial Downs. She will kick it off for us. Mike Stidham, who has several horses entered on this program here tonight, is going to be with us at 8:35 Eastern time. Debbie Easter, president of the Virginia Equine Alliance and the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association, with us at 9 o'clock Eastern time. Ed Bowen is going to be with us right around 9:25 Eastern. Ed, over at the Jockey Club, a historian, he's going to look back on Forgo and his amazing feat of winning four consecutive Woodwards. Thought it'd be a cool way to kind of remember the great Forgo on this Woodward Stakes Day. And then at the end of the program, Graham Motion will be with us, and we'll kind of see where the poll stands at that point. We can pass on the results to Graham. Are you taking Graham Motion or the field in tonight's Virginia Derby? All of that ahead over the next 2 hours on a busy Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Eric Hamelback, CEO of the National HBPA. Thoroughbred owners and trainers know the importance of keeping their horse on schedule, on the track, and injury-free. Even a small injury can result in losing precious time and serious money. That's why farms worldwide trust KeepSafe V-Mesh Fence from Red Brand. The strong mesh design flexes on impact and reduces injuries, keeping your athletes on schedule and on the track. Learn more about KeepSafe V-Mesh Horse Fence at redbrand.com.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Picari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. In addition to selling $1 million-plus yearling, Picari's standouts on the racetrack include Reynaldo the Wizard.
Coming after Reynaldo the Wizard, he's still in front, the Wizard, and he's won. Reynaldo the Wizard has beaten Belmont Mass.
And recent Grade 1 winner, Salty.
Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead, and Salty has won it.
Visit the Picari Bloodstock consignment at major sales to find your next superstar.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Brody's Cause, a Grade 1 winner at 2 and 3 by Giants Causeway.
Brody's Cause and Corey Lannery, a tremendous run from deep in the pack to pull the upset in the Claiborne Breeders' Futurity.
His final time of 143.27 in Keeneland's Grade 1 Breeders' Futurity is the fastest running on dirt since 2000, while defeating Grade 1 winner, Exaggerator. Look for his first crop yearling selling this summer. Brody's Cause, standing at Spendthrift.
The Maryland thoroughbred industry, for over 200 years, the innovative leader. Maryland was the first to have organized racing in North America. and the first to establish a state breeders association. Maryland created the first Thoroughbred Yearling Show, the first state magazine, the first state breeder incentive development program, the first international race to feature horses from four continents, and the first $1 million one-day stallion stakes event. The Maryland Thoroughbred industry is the innovative leader.
This is Chris Landeros. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
It sounded right here at Colonial Downs last night. Firehouse, the band that began in Richmond, Virginia, kicking things off on this Virginia Derby weekend and doing it in fine fashion here last night. Don't Treat Me Bad, one of the big hits from Firehouse. You might remember them. The hair band, the 80s rock band. I was a huge hair band guy, still am, listening to Hair Nation in my car all the time on Sirius XM, by the way. And getting a chance to listen to a little Firehouse there, bringing us back as we welcome in Jill Byrne, who is the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Colonial Downs. Did you get out there and check out the concert last night, Jill?
I did, yeah. A lot of people were here. You know, they're a popular local band, so a lot of people came to hear Firehouse last night, and such a beautiful night of racing last night. People came out for that and then stuck around for the music, and it's one thing I've noticed here. People are never in a hurry to leave after the last race, no matter what's going on. People just like to hang out and enjoy the atmosphere here.
Another big concert here this weekend, too,
yes,
right?
Yes, Old Dominion on Sunday. That is a massive concert that we're putting on here. And they've just been nominated again, I guess, for another country music award. So, again, very popular band throughout the entire country. So we expect a huge crowd here on Sunday. No racing, thank gosh.
What, one thing at a time.
Yeah.
Well, how about tonight? Big racing tonight. Happy Virginia Derby Day.
Thank
you. Are
you
a native Virginian, so this
am.
Has to be special for
and
you.
And thanks to you all for being here. So glad to have HRN here on site. Yeah, native Virginian, so to come back here and to help bring Virginia racing back to life and the Virginia breeding industry is something, you know, I have a great deal of pride in doing. So it's been extremely gratifying so far, very challenging to get to this point, but very gratifying as well. And, you know, all the support from the community, from the entire horse industry, really, I think that's what's kind of taken us all back, is how supportive the whole industry has been. It's kind of that feel-good story, the comeback of the year, Colonial Downs. Maybe we'll win the comeback of the year award this year.
Well, you know, so many racetracks have been closing and rumors of more closing and stuff. So to have one open is a really cool thing. And this is a beautiful place. And you have done most of the work. I know you have a great team, but I see you
team.
Walking around here, and you do everything from picking up, you know, scraps of paper on the ground to running the, you know, whole show, refurbishing the paddock, getting our chairs. you name it, you do it. And you do it with a smile on your face. So it's obviously a job that you love.
Yeah, well, how lucky am I, you know, to do this, something I've grown up doing all my life, but to do this, as you mentioned, you know, in a comeback story with Colonial Downs, and it means so much more than just the racetrack here. It's what it means to the state of Virginia. And Virginia has such a steep history in the thoroughbred industry. The first horse racing took place here in Virginia. So, you know, to be a part of this and all the great people behind the scenes, I mean, long before I got here, 1st of March, there was a lot happening here in 6 years to get to this point, to bring this back. So, I think we've been extremely overwhelmed by the support of the horsemen. Now look at our entries and the horsemen coming from all over the country. We call ourselves the melting pot of racing here. We've had horses, you know, winning from Minnesota to Florida, Kentucky, New York. I mean, they're just coming from everywhere, top trainers. So I think that really bodes well for the type of meet that we wanted to put on.
When racing halted here in 2013, did you ever see this day in the future where we'd be sitting here talking about the Virginia Derby again?
You know, I think it's always that something that you hope for and you see on the horizon, and I knew there were a lot of really good people behind the scenes working to make this happen. But as you mentioned, in an industry where so many more are closing and not coming back, it definitely was something that, you know, was going to take a lot to happen. So, you know, in Virginia, notoriously just hadn't been, you know, on the on the path of gaming at that time. So I think, you know, it definitely was something that was a trepidation whether this day would come. But, I mean, what an amazing facility. I remember coming here for my years with TVG and, you know, just thinking what a beautiful facility this is for horse racing. So we've put a lot into it. Really have to give a shout out to our ownership group, Peninsula Pacific and Colonial Downs Group, for everything that they've invested in the entire facility and in the horse racing industry.
Yeah, because there have been some changes here. You've given this somewhat of a facelift, right? Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah, no, definitely a facelift. The infrastructure of the track was here. I mean, the Secretariat Turf Course, to me, is second to none where I've been around the country.
It's beautiful.
It's the widest in the country, 185 feet. You know, we change the lanes every week, so you always have a fresh course to run over. So that was there, and they'd been maintaining that. But the dirt course, we invested over $1 million to bring this dirt course to one of the absolute best in the country, getting rave reviews from the horsemen. The paddock completely renovated, the jocks room up on the fourth floor turf club, the stable area. So, yes, a lot went into this brand-new tote boards, broadcasting in HD, you know, all those kind of things. So it's definitely been a big facelift for Colonial Downs.
Had to be a tremendous leap of faith for the investors to, you know, jump into this because nobody knew if it was going to be a hit or a bust.
Yeah, they've been very successful in everything that they've done. And so, you know, I think they really, and when they invest in something, they go all in and they support it. And they're a very, just like a really, for lack of a better word, a very cool group to be around. You know, they're not what you expect of the suits and ties. They're a very comfortable group, very confident, and very, you know, approachable. And you'll see them all out here tonight and just really embracing the community. That's been a big part of it, too, what they've given back to the community with this. A lot of charity being given back, especially to the school system. So they're all in a much bigger way than just the Rosie's Gaming and the horse racing.
And all the people that are employed here.
Yeah.
Right? That's a huge boost to the local economy.
Yeah, a huge boost to the local economy with not only providing jobs, but also think of the agriculture business here. So the horses coming back, you have the hay, the feed, you know, all of the equipment places that are kind of getting a boost from Colonial Downs being back.
And you told us as we were walking around here when we arrived on Thursday that this is really just the beginning. What we're seeing here is great. It's new. It's electric. But it's only the beginning. There are bigger things up the road.
Yeah, bigger things obviously on the horizon with the, you know, knock on wood success of this meet so far. With next year and the years beyond, you know, next year looking at anywhere from 21 to 30 days of racing. Not sure exactly when those dates will be. We'll be working on that at the end of September. And then, you know, on from there with the, you know, with the gaming, the support from the gaming side of it, the purse structure will remain very high, you know, $500,000 a day for this purse structure this year. Incentive programs, the stakes program, we really want to bring that, you know, back even to a higher level. The Virginia Bred program, you know, is key to all of this happening and to, you know, the Virginia Thoroughbred industry moving forward back to where, you know, it had been previously. And what that means to the entire industry. So it's, you know, it's not just Virginia and this community. It's how it affects the entire thoroughbred industry. But looking forward to it. This one's been, you know, a mad rush to get ready, but a lot of support from an incredible team. My team, the racing team, I can't say enough about them. You know, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, nonstop. But this is what they do. They love it. Incredible passion for what they do. So everybody's all in and really proud of what they've accomplished.
Talking with Jill Byrne. She is the Vice President of Racing Operations, or she will tell you the Vice President of everything here at Colonial Downs. Judy alluded to the fact she's been picking up trash from last night. She's been walking around the grounds getting our chairs. She's done everything, and she's a rock star, and she's with us here on the Equine Forum presented by Red Brand Fence this morning. Jill, you mentioned coming here with TVG all those years and mm-hmm. broadcasting this particular night, this particular event. Do you have a favorite Virginia Derby memory or two that jumps out to you when you think back on those days?
Oh, goodness, some I probably can't say on the air. when you think of some of the TVG people I came here with. But, you know, it was always so much fun to come back to Virginia for me. And one, you know, I remember in particular when Todd Trupp, Simon Bray, and I came here for TVG, and they sent us here really early. So we got to go all around the local area. We went to the battlefields. We went to the museums. And, of course, if you've ever been anywhere with Todd Shrupp, you have to eat your way through the entire local community. So we tried all the fair. And then, you know, you get these big storms come blowing in, and then the sun comes back out, and you know, just great racing. Battle of Hastings, you know, remember that one? Obviously, Geoponte, Kitten's Joy. Think of all the champions that have raced over this turf course. But I think the thing I remember the most with TVG is how the local community and the people that come out to the races, which you'll see tonight here for Virginia Derby, just so excited to have that kind of coverage. And, you know, people just, they hang out here. They enjoy it. They really, they love the horse racing. And so, you know, those are the memories here. Maybe Simon having to walk through the mud over to the turf course with his losing his shoes across there. No, always great memories with TVG, and, you know, glad that they're back here again, covering our races. Gabby Gaudette here for that. So, you know, I think that says something about what Colonial Downs racing is. You know, we've come back at a very high level. And so, you know, with, like, you all supporting us, TVG, all the media that supported us, it's really been, it's been very overwhelming in a good way.
Yeah, it's a great thing to have it back. I think so many people enjoyed racing here before, and I think they're all going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, look how pretty this, just where we're sitting right now.
Yeah, it's gorgeous.
Horses love it here. You know, there's trees, there's grass. It's not the concrete jungle. I've been talking to a lot of trainers in the morning, and especially with what we've done, the renovations to the main track, like, my horses are sounder and happier since I've been here.
Yeah, and I believe it.
Like, well, driving here is beautiful.
Yeah, no, it's incredible. And look where you are. You're between Richmond and Williamsburg. You're only an hour plus from Virginia Beach. So, you know, and then my home of Charlottesville. You're only about an hour and a half away from Charlottesville. It's been a big year for Virginia between my University of Virginia Cavaliers winning the NCAA championship.
There you go.
Got to get that one in there. Winning the lacrosse championship. I'll just keep going.
Wow.
Football season starts today for us. But, you know, this is it's been great to come home.
Yeah, it certainly has. And it's been great for us to be here as well. We have felt extremely welcome since we walked through the doors, and rightfully so. It's a great place, and we'll encourage everybody, if you're not going to be here this year, get here at some point. Put it on your bucket list. It's a great racetrack, and you'll have a great time. We promise you, this area has so much to offer. Jill, before we let you go, lay out. We've talked about the Virginia Derby, the Virginia Oaks. We talked about our coverage. We'll kick things off 8 o'clock Eastern here on the network. But lay out what people can expect with tonight's program.
Well, for people coming here, our gates are going to open at 3 p.m. instead of 4, so to kind of help the congestion coming in here. We have kids races on the track, a couple of kids races early, 4 and 4:30, so bring the kids out for that. We have a jockey meet and greet signing with our secretariat giveaway poster that we had in opening week. So come out for that. Then the racing starts, and we've got an early pick 5 with the 12% low industry take out for that, and a late pick 5 today as well, plus an all-stakes pick 4, which will be the Rosies, the Exacta Rosies, and the TAA Kitten's Joy. Then we have the Phasic Tipton Virginia Oaks and our own local New Kent County Virginia Derby, all back-to-back-to-back. And we have an incredible national anthem singer, Shay, who was on American Idol. So,
Cool. Know,
yeah, just a lot of things like that going on here, and a hat contest. So, you know, it's Virginia Derby. Come out, enjoy, and watch it on TVG. Listen to your guys' coverage tonight as well. And, you know, just looking, it's beautiful weather. So the gods up there are blessed with some nice weather for racing.
JT, have you taken a look at the fields for that kid race today?
I have not.
Salty.
Are they tough?
Yeah, it's competitive. Oh, yes. They'll be running down the stretch.
Who blew out well?
Jill, listen, we appreciate the visit. Thank you for stopping by. Thank you for everything, and thank you for having us here, too. It's a delight.
Thank you to you all for being here. It means a lot, you know, for people like you all and HRN to support this meet as we're bringing it back. It really gives us an additional credibility.
Yeah, congratulations on all your success, too.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done. Jill Byrne here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, we're going to send Jill a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. Remember to wear what you love at EmbraceTheRace.com. We're going to be joined by Mike Stidham coming up in the next segment, but first it's time for your Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you every Saturday at this time by the Lexus Store of Lexington.
There have been match races, and there have been match races in thoroughbred racing. Some have fizzled, some have turned into classic confrontations of the equine sport. On October 20th, 1923, there was one that by anybody's measure or means falls into the latter category. At that date in the Roaring Twenties at Belmont Park, 50,000 patrons were amassed neath a brilliant yellow sun on a mild autumn day, with Mother Nature having reached down with tender tendrils to paint the surrounding countryside in the brilliant hues of the season to see a horse race. Oh, there had been large crowds at Belmont in the past, but never of the size of the assemblage gathered on that day. This one came filled with patriotism and the sporting instinct. It was an event amongst events. The enormous crowd was overflowed from the clubhouse into the grandstand and on out across the lawn, and provided the exclamation point to one of the greatest spectacles in all the annals of sport. The purse was $100,000, the racing surface muddy, and the combatants were the great Zeb, Harry F. Sinclair's American Standard Bearer, to be piloted by the redoubtable Earl Sandy, and the superb British representative Papyrus, with Steve Donahue handling the lines. Zeb went postered at 4-5, Papyrus even money. Papyrus had several excellent workouts since arriving in America. Zeb had not been at his best of late, having incurred a skin ailment, but on this day, in this race, they both performed like the champions that they were. From a standing start, Papyrus got away very quickly, jumping on out to a length and a half lead before the two had gone a single furlong. Zeb, slow to settle into stride, made up the ground quickly and dropped down along the rail under Sandy. By the time they had gone a quarter, Zeb had gained the lead and was full of run. Sandy took a strong hold and was rating his mount nicely. At the half-mile marker, it was Zeb by a length, and on down the backside they went in the 10-furlong race, with Donahue on Papyrus, asking his stalwart for just a bit more, while Sandy, in turn, let out a notch on Zeb, holding on to a one-length lead as the two thundered into the far turn. They continued to hold their positions in what had become a cat-and-mouse game between riders and horses on around the turn, with Donahue and Papyrus unable to close any ground. It looked at that point as if the courageous British champion was indeed a beaten horse. As they swung off the turn to the head of the stretch, Zeb increased his margin under the astute handling of Sandy. Bending low, Sandy appeared to cluck and whisper something into Zeb's ear, and he began to widen his margin as a huge roar swelled up from the vast multitude in attendance. Zeb literally ate up huge chunks of ground with giant strides, but Papyrus fell further behind. They had only a furlong to the wire, and it was Zeb by four open lengths. As they galloped to the finish with Zeb in full command, sending sprays of mud up before the noisy crowd, Sandy guided the conquering hero home magnificently with every leap, ultimately winning by eight open lengths. It was a stirring performance by Zeb, and the single most crushing defeat ever suffered by the British great Papyrus. The rancocous colt of Harry Sinclair had not run a particularly fast race, but under the handy guy named Sandy, he had proved himself to be an international champion and had upheld the honor and prestige of American racing. Zeb versus Papyrus, Belmont Park, October 20th, 1923. A great moment in racing.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Bloom Racing. Started by former jockey and 35-year racing industry veteran Jeffrey Bloom, Bloom Racing offers racing partnerships, bloodstock services, pinhooking, and private race management.
Pulling away from Come Dancing, Mopetism, and the others, Midnight Bizou leaves no doubt today. She won the Phipps in hand.
Experience the fun, excitement, and exclusive access of racehorse ownership with Bloom Racing. Forming racing partnerships now, get in on the action at bloomracing.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, eight stakes races worth over $700,000, and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
Power.
Here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this Grade 1.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA, and his first U.S. crop of yearlings are making an immediate impact. With the Bob Baffert-trained Eight Rings, the son of Empire Maker, named a TDN Rising Star following his scintillating debut, and is now pointing for the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity on Monday.
Eight Rings, a superlative performance, could not have been more impressive.
A highly influential sire, Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile, Bodemeister, Emollient, and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Look for your Empire Maker yearling at the Keeneland September sale. Empire Maker, standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is Bob Baffert, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Tasting the Stars asked to come after them three wide and then Wrong Color. They're at the top of the stretch, and LEB is up to take a narrow lead. Tasting the Stars on the outside, Super Escape fights on very willingly, and in behind them, Sweet Sammy D is getting involved late. Now, Tasting the Stars kicks it into another gear, and Tasting the Stars will remain perfect, and now she is a stakes winner on the grass. Sweet Sammy D was second, then it was Super Escape in a battle for third with LEB and Sweeter Than Wine.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld coming to you for the very first time in the history of this network in the, 15 years or so we've been on radio. Never had the privilege to say welcome to Colonial Downs, but we do this morning as we broadcast live paddock side on a gorgeous morning here in New Kent, Virginia. And Tasting the Stars, Frank Miramati had the call of that spectacular filly winning the Just Genda Stakes at Monmouth on July 28th. He said she was perfect. She is a perfect 3-for-3 coming into tonight's face at Tipton Virginia Oaks, and she's won on the dirt. She is now won on the turf and is a stakes winner on the turf, and she's looking to add to her resume later this evening for trainer Mike Stidham, who has a very busy night ahead of him. He has seven horses entered on this Colonial Downs program, starting with the first, a maiden special weight, going all the way through to the Grade 3 New Kent County Virginia Derby. And he is with us now here on the Equine Forum. Mike, good morning and happy Virginia Derby Day.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, going to be a busy night for you. The sensational filly and the Virginia Oaks and then Credit Swap. But you actually have two in the Virginia Oaks. You have two in the Kitten's Joy. How are you going to keep it all straight, my man?
Well, we got good help over here. The horses arrived early this morning, and I'm actually at the barn now, and everybody shipped well. So we're hoping for a big evening.
You've got Tasting the Stars, who's a Virginia bred. That's got to be pretty cool. You've been getting a lot of attention for that.
Yeah, there's been a couple of guys by the barn wanting to take pictures of her, and hopefully she's going to be a good representative for the state of Virginia.
You know, Mike, she's so versatile too. We'll start with the ladies first here in the Virginia Oaks, and we'll start with the star of the show, so to speak, with Tasting the Stars, who is probably going to go postward as the favorite. She's so versatile. She's won, as I mentioned, going long on the dirt earlier this year at the fairgrounds, then comes back in her turf debut and wins impressively that day. What's impressed you most about Tasting the Stars?
Well, I mean, the bottom line with Tasting the Stars is she's very talented and very athletic, and her dam was successful on both surfaces. So when we came off a little bit of a layoff from February to July, we were looking for a spot for her, and there really wasn't a good dirt option at that time. And so we just decided that, you know, it was time to go ahead and test the grass. And she went out there and did her thing and ran really well on that surface, just like she did on the dirt. So she's one of those horses that, you know, seems like she'll run on just about anything.
Was that a little scary to run on the turf off a layoff?
Yeah, it certainly was. I mean, you know, anytime you're trying something new with these horses, you never know how it's going to go until you actually get out there and do it. You can make all the predictions you want in the world, but bottom line is they've got to go out there and show up and get the job done, and she did just that. So certainly her winning that race has given us, you know, the confidence to come back in a race like this tonight.
Yeah, that's been one of the hallmarks of your career. You're not afraid to take a chance. If you think you can win the race, you just go ahead and do it. You don't worry too much about what people think or that type of thing. But yet your horses are very consistent and run through their conditions, and you do things the right way, but you're not afraid to step out, so to speak.
Well, we've always believed that, you know, if you've got a talented horse and there's a race wherever it may be, if it's within reasonable shipping distance and you can get them there safely, it's worth shipping and taking a shot in different spots around the country. And that's, you know, we've been lucky to be successful in doing that. So with Colonial Downs reopening this year and us having a presence in the Mid-Atlantic with being stabled at Fairhill and Monmouth, it made sense to, you know, come here and run a lot of horses at this meet. So hoping for a big night.
Yeah, it should be a big night. And, again, a busy night for our special guest this morning. He is trainer Mike Stidham, Tasting the Stars, one of two horses he will saddle in tonight's Fasig Tipton Virginia Oaks. The other is Carnival Colors. And, Mike, you've got a powerful 1-2 punch because this filly, you talk about talent, she's a head away from being a Grade 3 winner, and that was at Woodbine last October. Tell us a little bit about her.
Yeah, well, she's one of the Godolphin horses that's in the barn. We're lucky to train for Sheikh Mohammed and Godolphin. And she's just another one of the very talented horses that they send us. As a two-year-old, as you said, she was second beaten ahead in the Mazarine at Woodbine on the synthetic. And when we gave her a little break at the end of her two-year-old year, brought her back first time on the turf at Laurel, and she, you know, won nicely in that race. You know, I felt like when we ran her back in the Ontario Colleen back at Woodbine on the turf, you know, the 1 mile distance is probably a little short for her. She got herself back a little ways and then just was unable to close in on the speed, and that's why coming back going the mile and an eighth, we thought that definitely suits her pedigree a little better. So we're hoping the added distance is going to give her a better chance, you know, to win or be right there in this race tonight.
Yeah, I'm glad you bring up the distance. Mile and an eighth, the furthest that either of those fillies has been asked to run to this point in their careers. You talk about Carnival Colors and why you think she fits the distance. How about Tasting the Stars? What is she showing you that makes you believe that she'll handle this mile and an eighth tonight?
Well, again, with Tasting the Stars, you know, she's got Awesome Again on the bottom side. That her dam was very successful at two turns. And, you know, she's so talented, so athletic that I don't see where an added, you know, 16th of a mile is going to make any difference. If anything, it'll probably help her because, you know, she won at the fairgrounds in February going a mile and a 16th on the dirt. So I don't see the mile and an eighth being any problem at all for her.
You know, Mike, I'm always curious when a trainer has multiple horses in a race, and many trainers will saddle two in the same race, and I know you've done that on several occasions, so it's not new to you. But when you're watching the start, when you're watching them make their way around the track after that during the running of the race, how are you keeping an eye on both of them and kind of making sure that each is doing what you're hoping they're going to do?
Well, what we're hoping for is a dead heat for the win, but that doesn't generally happen. But the thing about it is it's nice when you have two in the race, and but their styles complement each other. And Chasing the Stars will probably be laying closer up to the pace, and then Carnival Colors will be sitting probably mid-pack somewhere. So they won't interfere with each other. And I think, like I say, I think both of them will be right there at the wire and close, you know, for the win. So that's what we're hoping for.
You've got credit swap in the Virginia Derby, and this horse has been ultra consistent. Talk about him a minute and what you see from him.
Well, Credit Swap, as a two-year-old, he really hadn't matured into a, you know, what you like to see in his two-year-old year. He was a little bit on the weedy side, a little narrow, and just hadn't really filled out much. And mentally, he wasn't handling the racing that well. Even though he did break his maiden first time out going 5.5, he just acted like a horse that wasn't ready for the stretch out, so we kept him at the 5.5 distance. But the time off from November to June of his three-year-old year, when he came back into us, he had filled out, he'd grown up, he'd gotten, you know, stretched out and scopey, and mentally he had really settled quite a bit. So that gave us the confidence, you know, to stretch him to a mile and a 16th in his first start as a three-year-old. And he ran hard every step of the way and just got beat a half a length in that race. So we felt good about that. There really wasn't a good race coming back at the two-turn distance. So we ran him back at Monmouth where he's stable going 5.5 again. And he handled that well, was second again there. And what we're hoping for with the mile and an eighth, if you look at his female family, Fantastic Sherl, that whole family was very successful going a mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter. They had no problem stretching. And so we're hoping that there's not a lot of speed in the race. It looks like he might be on the lead here. And hopefully he can slow the pace down, control the pace, and have something left to finish with. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if he handles the mile and eighth really well.
Yeah, the Fantastic Light on the bottom side. I mean, I had a friend who won the Ascot Gold Cup with a horse by Fantastic Light. I mean, this horse should run all day, and it may be the whole key to him is getting him a distance where he can be super comfortable on the front end or close up.
Yeah. Actually, my assistant, Hillary Pridham, she actually was involved with Noel Hickey, and they had the filly, I'm trying to remember her name, but they had a grade one winning filly in this family that she handled the mile and an eighth, mile and a quarter really well. And so, you know, when we bought him in the sale, that was one of the reasons, because it was from that family that Hillary knew so well. And so we were hoping that as he matured, he would handle the added distance also.
Yeah, those questions will be answered shortly after 9 o'clock Eastern time tonight. That is post time for the Grade 3 Virginia Derby. The Fasig Tipton Virginia Oaks coming up prior to that at 8:15. Our coverage, 8 o'clock Eastern here on Sirius XM channel 156. That's where you can find us tonight for coverage of those two big races. Mike, really appreciate the visit here. All the best later on this evening, and I know you have all those other horses we didn't get to talk about, so good luck, and we'll look for you in the winner's circle a couple of times here tonight.
I appreciate you having me on the show, and always good talking to you guys. Thanks.
All right, thanks, Mike. Trainer Mike Stidham here on HRRN. Like all of our guests, he is going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can wear what you love by visiting embracetherace.com. busy night for Mike, but he's got those live shots. Virginia Oaks, those horses, I mean, obviously Tasting the Stars, Carnival Colors, both major players. And Credit Swap, as you heard him say, you know, you kind of read between the lines, as we like to do with the trainers. He kind of perked up a little bit. I think he likes Credit Swap a little bit.
Well, he seems like he could be a really nice horse. And, you know, Mike's had a good meeting here. He's run 13 horses. He has 4 wins, 2 seconds, and a third. So he's been right there in every race he's been in, and he's an excellent trainer and a great guy. I've known him for quite a long time. His dad, George, one of the coolest guys you ever wanted to meet. Just a fantastic dude.
All right, still to come here on the show, we're going to visit with Debbie Easter from the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. We're going to visit with Ed Bowen, looking back on the great Forgo and his 4 consecutive wins in the Woodward Stakes. And trainer Graham Motion going to be with us toward the end of the program as well. But when we come back, it's a very special Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. You won't want to miss it. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Woodbine is celebrating their fall turf season from September 6th to October 14th with 23 stakes races and more than $5.4 million in purses. September 14th and 15th is Rico Woodbine Mile weekend with 3 Breeders' Cup winning your in races, the $1 million Rico Woodbine Mile, the Grade 1 Natalma Stakes, and Grade 1 Summer Stakes. On October 12th, 2 more Grade 1 turf races highlight the program, the Grade 1 Pattison Canadian International and Grade 1 E.P. Taylor Stakes. For more information, please visit woodbine.com.
Hi, Tony.
Hey, Matthew.
There's a reason why Tony Steaks and Seafood is my favorite restaurant. It's because I want to feel part of the family. Isn't that right, Tony?
That's right. There's a saying on the wall that I truly believe in. There's always room for one more at our table. We just want you to be part of our family.
And believe me, you will be. It's Tony Steaks and Seafood right across from Triangle Park. Visit them at TonySteaksandSeafood.com.
Attention, Kentucky Breds. Make plans to race at the upcoming Kentucky Downs meet starting August 31st, where Kentucky Breds compete for huge purses. Kentucky Breds will run for $130,000 in maiden events, with allowance races offering up to $145,000, the highest in the nation. Plus a Breeders' Cup winning you're in the Turf Sprint on September 7th. With additional purse money available for KTDF eligible horses, Kentucky Downs is the place to race a Kentucky Bred this summer. Visit KentuckyBred.org for details.
This is Tom Durkin for NYBreds.com, inviting you to get with the New York program because it offers owners a better chance to make money. Because you have the option of running in more than 800 races a year where your horse faces only other state breds. And there's more than $40 million in purse money for those restricted races. So come to Saratoga in early August and buy your New York bred yearling at one of the Fassig Tifton sales. And next year, we hope to see you win at the Spa.
It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Nyquist has kicked on. Nyquist swipe closing, but not to get to Nyquist. Another classy performance from Nyquist. Remains unbeaten. Wins it by about 4, but coming home easily in the end.
In 2015, Nyquist won the first of 5 career Grade 1 races in the Del Mar Futurity. He went on to become the first champion 2-year-old to win the Derby undefeated since the Great Triple Crown winner, Seattle Slough, making Nyquist your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley Stallion Nyquist, an Eclipse champion at 2 when he won 3 Grade 1s, including the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Currently the leading first crop sire by median. Don't miss his next group of yearlings at the upcoming Keeneland September sale. Learn more about Nyquist and all the Darley Stallions by visiting DarleyAmerica.com.
This is jockey Julien Lepau, and you're listening to HRRN.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Welcome back. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, live from Colonial Downs in Virginia, getting set for 2 outstanding races later tonight, the Virginia Oaks and Virginia Derby. If you're just joining us, our coverage begins 8 o'clock Eastern. It is an HRRN doubleheader for you later tonight, though, as you can join us at 5:30 Eastern Time. Anthony Stabile and Mike Beer will be live from Saratoga to bring you exclusive radio coverage of the Woodward. again later this afternoon at 5:30, and then follow us here at 8 o'clock Eastern for a special HRN doubleheader as we bring you live coverage of the races at Colonial Downs. Every single Saturday at this time, we have the chance to bring you our Industry Star of the Week segment, which is presented by our friend Stuart Morris. And this morning, a very special guest and rightfully honored as our industry star here on this Saturday morning. We welcome Heather Selenisi, who works at Anchor and Hope Farm in Maryland. On August 12th, there was a fire that ravaged and destroyed one of the main barns. And if it wasn't for Heather and her quick action, that could have been a lot worse. And she joins us now as our Industry Star of the Week. Heather, good morning.
Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Things are well, and I know that they are finally getting back to being good at Anchor and Hope after what was a horrific day on August 12th. Take us back to that day.
You know, it's hard to relive it, and I know everybody, I'm sure, has read the story and the Blood Horse. Just a typical morning. You know, we fed, treated all of our stock, and then we're prepping yearlings for the sale, you know, going about our typical routine, about 11:45, 12 o'clock. Lewis had a doctor's appointment. He had to run out. He checked in on me, make sure everything's okay. I said, yeah, you know, all good. I'm going to get ready, head out for lunch soon here in a little bit. I did my final check, you know, checked my stallions, checked everybody up in the other barn, and went to my car. I was kind of parked next to Marin Foal Field, which is sort of across our driveway from the barn. And I sat in my car, and I was thinking about heading up the street, was going to get some lunch or something. And I kind of was like, you know what, I'm just a little too tired, and I just want to kind of relax, sit here for a little bit. Probably not even 5 minutes after that, my mares and foals were kind of freaking out, just not normal behavior. They were kind of running around, being silly. And I looked up, and I'm like, what is going on? So I got out of my car. And when I got out of my car, I noticed that it was, you know, there was something going on in the barn. There was smoke kind of billowing out from the lower portion of our barn where our two stallions, Imagining and Bourbon Courage, were. So rushed in. I called 911 as I was running into the barn. And, you know, when I got in the entryway, I immediately could hear the fire crackling. Our stallion Imagining was hollering, screaming. I will never forget the sound he was making. And, you know, I just jumped into action. I didn't even think about it. I wasn't worried about me. I was worried about them. And he was the first one I let out. Just kind of pulled the pin open on his stall, and I yelled at him, you know, get out, get out, get out, get out. And he rushed out and just let him loose. And then I ran over and let Bourbon Courage loose. And, you know, it's never a good idea to have two stallions running around together where they're in contact with one another. But I figured that would be the better option. So then I went to the top portion of the barn that was not, it hadn't been affected yet, but the fire was spreading fast. And I just ran down the aisle. It was a center aisle barn, beautiful, beautiful barn, and pulled pins on the stalls. I you know, threw the stall doors open, and I'm screaming at all our yearlings. We had three mares with foals at their sides in there, and a couple of them, you know, were kind of just following me, and I'm just yelling at them, guys, you know, go, get out, and I'm just trying to scream and scare them. I just wanted to get them away from me and the situation. And luckily, they all ran out, and you know, they were running loose on the property. I'm on the phone with 911, and I was here by myself, and I'm trying to, you know, tell the dispatch that I needed to call Lewis and I needed to get help, more help for me. And so when I finally had some first responders arrive, they let me hang up with 911, and I immediately called Lewis. And I just, you know, I'll never forget that I was sobbing, I was panicking, I was screaming. I'm sure he wasn't expecting that when he answered the phone call. And and I was just saying, Lewis, I'm sorry I let you know, the stallions are out and they're running around and they're, I'm really sorry. And I was just apologizing for having the two stallions running around together. But, you know, in hindsight, that was kind of just, it was fine, you know, because otherwise they wouldn't have made it.
Yeah, just
so,
a
then I just
kind
of went around and caught everybody. I got Bourbon Courage first. I kind of, you know, I work with the stallions daily, and I saw them, him and Imagining, run past me, and I screamed, you know, Bourbon, Bourbon Courage, and he turned around and he came right to me, and I really thought that that was amazing on his part for being smart enough to know. You know, they knew that they were in trouble and that they needed help, and they're smart. All of our horses are very smart, and he came right to me. I grabbed him by his halter, which, you know, if you know anything about stallions, usually if you don't have a shank, you don't have too much control. And I walked him back to a paddock. He walked, you know, he walked back with me. I threw him in an open paddock, and then I kind of just was running around. My focus was on Imagining. I was concerned that maybe he was hurt. But as I was kind of running around calling for him, I was, you know, finding yearlings, and I just was kind of grabbing them and just, you know, okay, I have you, put them in an open field. I have you, put them in a field. And, you know, by that time I had a couple sheriff's deputies that were helping me. Lewis and Grace kind of made their way back. The firefighters were working on the fire, which, I don't really, they said it was about an hour that they were working on that. To me, it seems like it was 16, but just kind of ran around and rounded everybody up, threw them into paddocks, checked them over real quick and on to the next. And luckily, no injuries, nothing serious. We had a couple bumps and bruises, scratches, things like that. But, you know, it could have been a lot more devastating than just losing the barn.
Yeah, it could have been much, much worse. Heather Selenisi is our special guest, our industry star of the week, this segment presented by Stuart Morris. And Heather, I know that you don't view yourself as a hero, and that's a term that gets thrown around far too loosely many occasions, but in my book, you're a hero, and what you did was heroic. And I know that Lewis and the entire team at Anchor and Hope are certainly grateful that you took the actions that you did. Very quickly, we have about less than a minute left here in this segment before we have to get to our next break, but you'll be selling yearlings from the farm to help rebuild from the fire that just happened, right?
Yeah, we're calling it our fire sale. Unfortunately, we're unable to prep our yearlings and get them to the sale, so we are inviting people to contact us, set up an appointment to come and see them here on the farm, and make offers to move them along to their careers.
All right, that's Anchor and Hope Farm. Make sure you support them and their fire sale. It's for a great cause. And Heather, can't thank you enough for what you did. Well done, and congratulations on being this week's Industry Star of the Week.
Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
All right, Heather Selenisi here on HRRN. Remarkable story. And that segment brought to you every week by Stuart Morris, who, as we know, offers a boutique full-service bloodstock operation. He'll be doing that at the Keeneland September sale coming up. He wants to thank his owners, clients, and team. His success because of you. He knows that. He's had multiple stakes horses over the past 3 years, including Henley's Joy, Our Brain Trust, and Malagasy. You can visit the Stuart Morris consignment at all of the major sales. We're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification. When we come back, we'll get you ready for hour number two, which begins with Debbie Easter, who is the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. We'll do that right after we pause 10 seconds for station ID here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
From the rail to your radio, this is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Jovia fights on. Tacitus is there. And then taps between horses. Master Fencer on the far outside. They're coming to the finish. And Sir Winston has won the Belmont Stakes.
There's an eighth of a mile to go.
Bolo keeps on going. River Boyne on the inside. Catapult far outside. Bowie zero. But Bolo has something left for the final 16th. And it's going to be Bolo coast to coast in the Shoemaker Mile.
From our Jimmy John's of Lexington studios, welcome to the Equine Forum. Presented by Red Brand Fence.
Mucho Gusto trying so hard to go by. Maximum Security just in front. Mucho Gusto valiant. But Maximum Security has won the TVG.com Haskell Invitational.
Stride to stride, a furlong to run. One bad boy, one bad boy. Never looked better and has got the Queen's Plate well and truly won.
Now, here's Mike Penna and Jude Feld.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum, presented by Red Brand Fence here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We are live from Colonial Downs in Virginia, getting set for a great night of racing that includes the Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby. Huge day across the country, though. You have the Woodward at Saratoga. We'll bring you that coverage at 5:30 Eastern time tonight. And you have a great day at Kentucky Downs with their opening day. And, of course, out on the West Coast at Del Mar. Great racing everywhere. And we are happy to bring it your way here on HRRN. JT, when we started the show, we threw out a quick poll question, and I'll kind of update people now. You can go weigh in at HRN on Twitter, Horse Racing Radio Network on Facebook. Graham Motion has three of the nine entries in tonight's Virginia Derby, so we thought it would be fun to do a little prop bet here, if you will. Who you taking in the Virginia Derby? You can have Graham Motion, or you can have the field. And so far, it looks like Graham Motion winning 57% to 43%.
Wow, that's a tighter margin than I actually thought it would be.
His horses are going to be tough to beat.
Absolutely.
There. Yeah, at least on paper, they look like it. Well, listen, Debbie Easter is with us now. She is the president of the Virginia Equine Alliance. She is the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. And, of course, all of our coverage tonight, beginning at 8 o'clock Eastern, is presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. And can't thank them enough for all their support. Debbie, thank you for everything, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you all. We're just tickled about having Colonial reopen and about this exciting night, and you guys just being here just adds to the whole excitement, and just I can't tell you the pleasure we all are feeling about this being. It's a real good feel good story for the industry, and we don't get many of those anymore.
Yeah, well said. When Jill Byrne joined us in the first half of the program, she talked about what this meant to the state and the industry here in Virginia. What does it mean?
Well, when Colonial shut down, original Colonial shut down, you know, it listening to my members, somebody like Karen Godsey, who's a local person that has training center and trained here, she lost a third of her income for the year. You know, it was hard for my job to tell people a reason to come breed horses here in Virginia. But we've been able to take some of the money that we've got from the revenue sources and start to build some new programs. And here about 2 years ago, the stars just started to align. We knew we looked all over the state to try and find a place that we could run and run safely, and we just couldn't do it. And we knew the horsemen, we were never going to be able to afford this place and build it to the what it needed. But we knew we needed another revenue source like historic horse racing. Revolutionary Racing came in, the stars started to align, the legislators really wanted to do something for the horse industry and for agriculture in this state, and I can't tell you how well it's just gone from there. It's the people we're dealing with are great, as Jill said on her earlier segment. They really want to try and do things right. I know in this industry we're always scared when casino folks open up own tracks, but these guys seem to want to do everything right, want to try and make this a quality situation, and I think it's been great opening first year, and I think we're just going to improve on that in the future.
Yeah, it looks like this is a banner type opening, and then next year when you know all the pitfalls and things you have to fix, and it's going to be awesome next year, and probably the year after that, and the year after that, it's just going to head straight up because you got the right team, you got people that are interested, and it's fantastic. Plus, you always have Secretariat in your back pocket.
We can never, that it's crazy. You can never underestimate his popularity. We have a horse festival here in the spring, and they have a booth, and people still just flock to that booth for him. He is, I mean, it's crazy still the name recognition he has. He's one of the best things we ever, ambassadors for the industry we ever had.
Yeah, no question. And you can always win a bar bet because everybody thinks, oh, you know, Kentucky breeds all the horses, right? And when they find out he was bred in Virginia, they go, really? Yeah. Mike Stim's got a Virginia bred in the Oaks. That's fantastic.
Undefeated Virginia bred.
How did that happen? Did you guys hustle him?
It's super. We may not have as many breeders as we used to have, but we still have a core of very quality breeders here. The Morgan's Fords, the Firestones, the Lazy Lanes, the Audleys, you know, breeding quality horses. You see them at the horse sales, and they go out and they win races all over the country. And we have a very exciting one. I think I mentioned to you today is Mr. Buff in the Woodward, who's a Virginia sired horse. And wouldn't that be super if we could have this and have a Grade One winner all on the same day? That'd be pretty. Wow. I'm wishing for the world here, but you know, I gotta stay positive.
You gotta get lucky once in a while,
exactly,
right?
Exactly.
Yeah, why not? Talking with Debbie Easter, as we told you, the president of the Virginia Equine Alliance and executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. All right, Debbie, I throw those titles out there, and people listening are going, wait a minute, well, I didn't know there was a Virginia Equine Alliance or a Virginia Thoroughbred Association. So spell out exactly what your roles are there.
Sure. So I'm the executive director of the Virginia Thoroughbred Association first, and just like every other Thoroughbred Association in every other state, we're trying to promote breeding and agriculture in the state. The Virginia Equine Alliance was something we put together when Jeff Jacobs turned in the original license for Colonial Downs. What happened when that happened, we lost all the revenue sources to a good chunk of it that helped run racing and kept the industry going in this state. So we got the legislature, we came together, it was the thoroughbred breeders, the thoroughbred owners and trainers, the harness guys, which is unusual, and the Virginia Gold Cup, which is a steeplechase race in Warrington, big and has pari-mutuel wagering. And we got legislation changed so that money that used to go to Colonial from ADW came to the industry. They gave us the ability to open OTBs, which was crazy, a bunch of us horse guys opening OTBs. We didn't know what the heck we're doing. But it worked out well, and it gave us some money to do things. We were able to keep our stakes going by running in Maryland for the last few years. We had some money to start some new incentive programs. One that's been just incredibly popular is the Virginia Certified Program, where we copied Delaware, took a good program and just made it better, I think. And people can send their horses here for 6 consecutive months prior to the end of their 2-year-old year. And once they complete that requirement, then if they win a race anywhere in the Mid-Atlantic region, and that's New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Maryland, West Virginia, Virginia, I hope I didn't miss somebody, if they win a race in any of those states, we're going to put a 25% bonus on top of their winning purse.
Ooh.
And so it's been great, and it's a year-round program. We probably breed a little over 100 horses here now a year, and it's brought, in the first 2 years, we almost had 1,500 horses join the program. So we're filling up our training centers and our farms. It's been a huge thing for agriculture here. And the other great thing that it's doing is we're creating a huge horse population for here, because you guys know how tough it is in the Mid-Atlantic. And for whatever reason in this horse industry, we all don't want to work together. But this is bringing a nice reason for these horses to come here and run in these restricted races. And it's good money.
Yeah, it's always important. I mean, you see what New York's done and the mandated 3 New York bred races a day thing. I mean, every New York bred makes $300,000 now. So eventually you can get to that point where you know, people want to be here because of those incentive programs. And it makes sense because it's expensive to train race horses and have a stable. So every little bit helps.
What a great opportunity to, you know, one of the things that puts us ahead for training is if you're going to send a horse out to break, which most people have to do, why not give it the chance that you're going to get your training money back on one win? And you talk about New York and what a great program. We're not trying to compete with other states. It's just a very nice add-on. Chester Broman, who we're talking about with Mr. Buff, has taken out about $150,000 in the last year from this state from just his New York breds that have won up there in New York, because every time he wins, he gets a $10,000 check from us.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
He's a smart guy, Mr. Broman.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, he really
but
is.
But it's what a great thing. And it's you know, when I talk about people like Karen Godsey, she's got 100, 150 horses in training now, when before she was barely going to make it. It's just Woodbury Payne, you know, people you know, they're full. 100 horses training here. It's really been good.
Well, and as you can tell, when you listen to Debbie talk, Debbie, when we go to Maryland every year for the Preakness and for the Maryland Million, we always talk about the fact that having a strong Maryland horse industry is good not just for the Mid-Atlantic, not just for the state of Maryland, but for the industry as a whole, nationwide. I'd imagine it's the same thing with Virginia, right? Having a strong program here benefits everybody across the country.
Sure, and look, when Maryland came back, they were probably in worse shape than we were, even though they were still breeding more horses, but they had a much larger industry with the stallions and everything.
Yeah.
And boy, until they got to slots, it's just great to see them come back, and they've been great partners with us, letting us run the stakes up there, and we were hoping we were going to be partners again like we were previously when they would shut down and when we were racing, and hopefully we'll pull that off someday. Those are things that I think are smart for the industry to do because we're all competing for the same horses, and you know, hopefully we can work that out in the future.
People have no idea how much the economy benefits from horse racing and how many jobs it creates and livelihoods it creates. It's so important to keep it alive and keep it going, and this reopening, so to speak, it's got to be a huge boon for the local economy and other people.
It's huge. Just if you take a little example, this little shopping center across here, the gas station and the Dairy Queen, if you go talk to them, they're just like ecstatic. They're like, here it is. It came back again, you know. But one of the things that's the hardest, and obviously our job with the legislature and is to tell them how big this is, and it really is the trickle-down economy. But it's hard sometimes to quantify that. And one of the hardest things, I think, to quantify, and I think you guys have been up through the Middleburg area, Upperville, and my goodness, it's harder to find a more beautiful horse country anywhere in this nation. And what it brings to Virginia is this lifestyle that people come here for, and you can't quantify that, but we can't lose that. We can't just make that a suburb of Washington, or we're going to lose why people want to come to Virginia.
That's yeah.
Right. So, anyways.
So in an ideal world, 5 years up the road, 10 years up the road, where would you like to see this Virginia program and the Virginia horse industry?
I don't think that we're ever going to have year-round racing here like other states. I don't know if that's the smart way to go because it just, as we look, it's just getting harder and harder to compete. And so boutique racing for us is probably the best thing that we can do. And whether it's, you know, whether it's later in the fall as we catch Monmouth closing and Delaware closing and the horses starting to go south, if that's a better spot, if it's better splitting something, I'm not really sure that. I think we'll all probably sit down and talk about it. This meet, we put this meet on in these days because we wanted to be less offensive to everybody around us. Timonium's on now. They don't have a grass course, and we're trying to be good partners as good as we can be. I think that what we hope that this will create enthusiasm. I think it's really hard to incentivize people to buy farms right now and breed horses, but I hope that'll grow here in the state. But if not, let's just make this a great place for people to want to come race, come send your horses for a while, and let's do some agriculture in Virginia.
Yeah.
Yeah, well said. Debbie Easter with us here on HRN, and a big part of the success and the rejuvenation of racing here and the industry as a whole. And really appreciate it, Debbie. And again, our coverage tonight will remind people, 8 o'clock Eastern. It is all presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. Thank you so much for that support, and we can't wait to bring it to our listeners nationwide on SiriusXM 156.
I can't wait for y'all tonight. I hope it's like it was opening day. The smiles around here, people hugging. I'm hoping it's the same. It'll be a huge crowd, but I get chills talking about it, how fun it is to see the crowd and how happy they are to have it back. So I hope you all get to experience that.
Your enthusiasm is infectious, no doubt about it. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate
Thank you all
it.
For being here.
Yeah, thanks for everything. We're going to talk more about the Virginia Derby with trainer Graham Motion coming up at 9:40 Eastern. But when we come back, we're going to turn our attention northward to Saratoga. And today with the Woodward Stakes, we thought it would be nice to look back on maybe the greatest horse ever to win the Woodward. And he did it 4 consecutive years, a feat that is just mind-boggling. That was Forgo. We will do that next with Ed Bowen. Stay with us. It's the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Hello, I'm Michael Blowen, founder of Old Friends Thoroughbred Retirement Farm. One of our highest priorities for these living legends is safety. That's why the fence we trust most at Old Friends is the V-Mesh Keepsake from Red Brand. Keepsake features a V-Mesh weave to prevent hooves from getting caught, and the mesh design flexes on impact. Learn more about the quality, safety, and long-lasting value of Keepsake V-Mesh Horse Fence by visiting redbrand.com.
Visionary design, visceral performance, and imaginary technology. That's Lexus. When every detail, every moment, and every emotion is crafted by Lexus, it leads to amazing. Experience artistry that inspires, design that compels, and engineering that excites. This is Mike Pena, and I can tell you personally, as a Lexus owner, the enjoyment you'll experience from driving any of the Lexus model lines is unparalleled. Visit the Lexus store of Lexington today and see what I've been talking about for nearly 15 years. The people truly make the difference. Lexus has also been a longtime supporter of the horse industry, with a Keeneland shop located at the Lexus store of Lexington and through their sponsorship of Keeneland's Lexus Raven Run Stakes each fall. And remember, when you go to the Lexus store, ask for the Godfather, Tony Attiano. Talk horses and experience amazing in your brand new Lexus.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 21st for the 11th annual Race for the Ribbon. Another stellar card in store, eight stakes races worth over $700,000 and headlined by the Grade 3 $300,000 Charlestown Oaks. And proceeds from the evening will go towards the fight against breast cancer here in West Virginia. The action kicks off with a special first post time of 5 p.m. Eastern. It's the Race for the Ribbon and the Grade 3 Charlestown Oaks here at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races.
This proven son of Giants Causeway has sired four millionaires, including Claiborne Farm stallion Lee. Recent top runners include Cutting Humor, winner of the Grade 3 Sunland Park Derby, plus three-time graded stakes runner Sharp Samurai, and international star Shamal Nybras. This year, his two-year-olds have brought prices up to $310,000. First Samurai, standing at Claiborne Farm.
The National HBPA is a coalition of over 30 individual affiliates in the United States and Canada, comprised of thousands of thoroughbred owners, trainers, and breeders, committed to the positive future of thoroughbred racing while working to increase its popularity and uphold the highest standards of welfare and integrity. Stop by to visit CEO Eric Hamelback at the National HBPA headquarters in Lexington, Kentucky, and see what the HBPA is doing for you.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrow. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
And it's still good plan now in front by a head. Prince Dantan on the inside now challenges. Those two are stride for stride as Everton moves back into contention, third on the outside. Red Top is next, and here comes Arby's Boy moving on the outside. Crafty Kale is next, and tightly bunched, they turn for home as Group Plan regains the lead. Here comes Arby's Boy on the outside. Red Top third on the inside. Crafty Kale is fourth. Through the stretch, an eighth of a mile to the finish. Group Plan leads. Arby's Boy challenges. Here comes Four Go on the outside. Arby's Boy takes the lead. Four Go to challenge. Arby's Boy and Four Go stride for stride. Four Go on the outside.
Forgo winning the 1974 Woodward 45 years ago. Hard to believe. Boy, 45 years ago, Forgo, the first of four consecutive, and it was impressive that day. He was impressive all the way through his brilliant career. It was a career which saw Forgo record 34 victories from 57 starts, $1.9 million in purse earnings. Think about that. That's back in the 70s, $1.9 million. Forgo, as good as it gets in the history of the sport of thoroughbred racing. And we're joined now by Ed Bowen. He is a historian. He knows a lot about Forgo and his connections, and he is going to look back on those four consecutive victories with us now. Ed, good morning. Welcome to the program.
Good morning. Thank you. Glad to be here. Enjoyed hearing that stretch call.
Yeah, when you hear the name Forgo, Ed, what are some of the first things that come to mind?
Well, of course, he was a towering presence. He was a very, very big horse. There was always the joke about, you know, could he fit in the starting gate? And I remember, ironically, my first connection to him, I remember covering his races. And after the Kentucky Derby, he finished fourth. And I said to Cheryl Ward, his trainer, I said, well, I guess this proves he belongs with the best horses, doesn't it? He said, well, I'm not so sure. So he was very modest, trainer. He, of course, he ran as a three-year-old. Of course, he's bumped up against Secretariat. And but I also remember on Belmont Day, the Forgo won an allowance race by about 9 lengths. And it was easy to think, gosh, I guess they're second-guessing themselves that they did run him in the Belmont. And then Secretariat came out and laid that remarkable victory in front of us and 31 lengths in record time. And I guess by nightfall, the Forgo camp felt pretty good about their decision.
Yeah, he was an amazing animal. Just every time he ran, he was so exciting to watch. It's hard to believe it's 45 years ago, but.
Oh, it really is. You know, he was such a competitor. When they retired him, he at first was stabled. Mr. Ward was not the trainer at the end of his career, because Frank Whiteley was. But anyway, he went back to the stables across from Keeneland, across Rice Road from Keeneland, where Mr. Ward's brother had had the training stable. And during the Keeneland meeting, Forgo got so upset hearing the call of the post and so forth, he just wanted to run. So that's when they transferred him to the Kentucky Horse Park, because he still wanted to be a racehorse.
Yeah, yeah. But Ed, put in perspective just how incredible that accomplishment is to win 4 consecutive runnings of the Woodward.
Well, about the only thing that you can say tops it was Kelso won the Jockey Club Gold Cup 5 times. You know, it's amazing to think that a horse like Forgo was Horse of the Year 3 times in a row. But just the previous decade, Kelso had been Horse of the Year 5 times. So, but even so, I don't ever have a feeling that, thinking back, I don't ever think there was a tendency to not recognize Forgo's greatness because of Kelso being that recent. But to win any major race, any race 4 years in a row, of course, you have to stay sound enough to do it. Counterintuitively, Forgo was always known for his unsoundness, and he had a ring bone, and Mr. Ward and then Frank Whiteley, it was always a matter of keeping him sound enough to race, and they both did a wonderful job. But having said that, from the trainer's perspective, you also have to recognize what an incredible competitive nature Forgo had. His owner, Mrs. Geary, once told me, I looked this up last night, and she said he's such a smart old guy. He would protect himself in ways, and sometimes when he ran poorly on a wet track, he had the sense that it wasn't that he couldn't do it, it's just that he was uncomfortable and was protecting himself because he didn't feel confident running on a wet track.
Refresh my memory, but was it the Marlboro Cup or the Jockey Club Gold Cup where he came from way off the pace carrying an immense amount of weight? Shoemaker rode him that day, and he just got up, and that was an off track that day.
Right, right. And I think that was, to me, that was his signature event, because he carried 137 pounds, which was the most he ever carried, and I can't remember many horses historically ever carrying, winning a major race with that amount. And he just got up, and he beat, typical of a weight for age race, you had the grizzled old veteran beating a sprightly three-year-old. Honest Pleasure was in that race, and Forgo wore him down. I believe, I'm not sure about this, I believe Shoemaker was quoted as saying that was the greatest performance a horse had ever given him. It was really, really, to me, that was his signature moment. A funny thing, I looked this up, and every time he won Woodward, he was coming off a defeat. and twice he was coming off a three-race losing streak. So the Woodward was not only important to his career, it was kind of a pick-me-up for him. And you could make the case that his Horse of the Year, his championships, were kind of recovered and sort of solidified by his winning the Woodward. Three times he was Horse of the Year, and then in 77, Seattle Slew, of course, won the Triple Crown, so he was Horse of the Year. But Forgo was the champion older horse for the fourth time, and that was one of the occasions he had he was coming up into the Woodward off a three-race losing streak.
Yeah, the horse for the course at Saratoga, huh?
Excuse me?
Woodward was, wasn't that Belmont back then?
Was it Belmont back
then?
Right,
yeah. Ed, that was at Belmont in the 70s, right?
Oh, right, Belmont and, yeah, that's right. And, yeah, it's only much more recent that that the Woodward came up to Saratoga. And I guess that was a function of the bizarre pattern of trainers wanting so much time between races anymore that Nara had to move it back. And, of course, it works against it being weight for age because it's, you know, the greatness of the Woodward was, you know, three-year-olds challenging older horses, and then when it has to be run a week after the Travers, that kind of changes its position. But it's still a very intriguing race today, as you know.
Do you miss the days of horses carrying that high impost and trying to prove that they could pull off a victory in a big spot like that with so much weight on their back?
Oh, I do. I think that is a I know I sound like an old fogey, and I'm old enough to qualify, but to me it was such a interesting part of the challenge. And you know, American horses were the only ones who faced that. In Europe, handicap racing is for the lesser horses, and all the great races are weight for age. But only in America did the great horses get that extra challenge, extra quality they could demonstrate, and it made a better betting race, because if you have a great horse carrying equal weight in a four horse field, that's not going to be very intriguing. But by challenging the horses to carry more weight, you let them prove an additional quality about themselves and made a more interesting betting proposition too. So I just think I'm baffled as to how handicap racing has just been almost passed away.
Yeah, talking with Ed Bowen here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Ed, let's shift gears for just a minute. This past week, we said goodbye to Hall of Fame jockey Randy Romero, who passed away after a long battle with his illness, and it seemed like for many, many years, and he joined us on our Jock Talk program at one point, that, you know, he had nine lives, and he was always kind of a death's door, and then he'd bounce back again, and this time just everything catching up to him, and we lost Randy, and just like to get your thoughts on the Hall of Famer.
Well, I think it's you can't help admiring him as a human being first, and then remind yourself that he was a great jockey. My brother has been on dialysis 3 days a week for several years, and everything has gone really well as it can be. And still, it is such a mentally and psychologically debilitating thing. So anything like that, and just multiply that many times by what Randy went through, and to have endured that as long as he did, and from all I read, Eddie Donnelly was quoted as saying how he stood up to it, and it was such a, I guess he was a great believer, and it gave him a lot of strength. But I tell you, if you want to get a good cry, just go find some of those old pictures of that chubby-cheeked, young-looking Randy Romero. You don't think of a jockey having a round face like that, even as a youngster, but he did. He just was an amazing individual. And, well, of course, he's so well-known for that incredible victory on first Winson in the Breeders' Cup distaff, which allowed her to retire undefeated. And I remember reading, I think I have this right, Randy sort of downplayed his own brilliance because he said once when he hit her, she then he went to the whip, and that made her sort of jog off to the next path, and that's when she got more comfortable. So he didn't take credit for finding that good going for her, just one path outside where he had been. He gave her the credit for it. Of course, she came on and won, and I like to remember that. Obviously, you can't help remembering the Go for One tragedy, and the fact that he came back and rode his Vestia in the Breeders' Cup Classic that same day before they realized how badly he had been hurt. Again, you just have yourself, you find yourself thinking so much about the tragedy, and his incredible inner strength is what you remember more when you'd like to just remember the victories.
Yeah, and that one victory that he was able to earn in the Woodward came with Polish Navy in 1987 for Shug McGahee and the Phipps colors, and that was a three-year-old, too, Polish Navy, ridden by Randy Romero, his only win that in the Woodward. But, Jude, he had more than 4,000 wins in that Hall of Fame career, and as Ed just alluded to, maybe even better remembered for the human being and his courageous battle over the past several years.
Yeah, I met him through Eddie Dalhousie, and one thing I will say about Randy Romero, he always had something nice to say. He was always very kind hello, how are you, what's going on, you know. He never was one of those, oh, I'm too cool for school guys, you know.
He's yeah.
just very down to earth and a very kind human being.
His Jock Talk show that he did with Christina McManigal and myself back in 2015 was one of the more emotional shows that I've been part of. To hear him tell his story and tell it so vividly, if you get a chance, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. Search for Randy Romero. It will pull up automatically, and you can listen to the full hour show. It was an amazing visit with him, and I think everybody would really benefit from listening to that and really enjoy it. His courage that Ed mentioned comes through in that hour-long show. Ed, really appreciate the visit here this morning, my friend. Thanks for the thoughts on Forgo and on Randy Romero, and we'll get you a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle, as thanks for coming on the program, and hopefully get a chance to catch up the road as well.
Thank you very much. I hope so, and have a great day. Have a great closing weekend at Saratoga.
Thanks, Ed. Appreciate it. Ed Bowen here on HRN. And I'll just pass this message along as well. Our good friend Mark Otto at Red Brand Fence, I can say that. Mark passed along this message to me that came from Randy's sister, that there will be a memorial mass for Randy Romero that's going to be held on Tuesday, September 10th at Our Lady of Lourdes Catholic Church, located at 700 South Broadway Street in Erath, Louisiana. The phone number, 337-937-6888. And in lieu of flowers, donations can be made to the PDJF in Randy's honor.
Very nice.
Yep. All right, we're going to go ahead and get to another commercial break here. When we come back, we'll get back to talking about the Virginia Derby. We'll do it with Graham Motion, who has a trio of top contenders in the race later tonight. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your home for the Breeders' Cup.
Castleton Lions is proud to introduce precocious multiple graded stakes winner Protonico for the 2019 breeding season. A Son of Giants Causeway out of an AP Indy mare, Protonico rolled to a 12 3/4 length victory in his debut as a 2-year-old before taking the Grade 3 Smarty Jones and Grade 3 Discovery Handicap at 3, followed by an ultra game win in the Grade 2 Ali Sheba at Churchill Downs in his 4-year-old season. Protonico joins the Castleton Lions stallion roster that includes multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti and Blue Blood sprinter Justin Phillip. Gio Ponti is the sire of Eclipse champion Dre Fong, Canadian Classic winner Sir Dudley Diggs, and stakes winners Miss Technicality and America's Tale. While Justin Phillip is represented by exciting stakes-winning filly Safe to Say and stakes place runners Justaholic, Blushing Justine, and Upset Brewing. Protonico, Gio Ponti, and Justin Phillip standing at Castleton Lions.
Attending this year's Kentucky Derby? Experience the true difference at the official Derby Hotel of HRRN. Say hello to a brand new hotel experience from Hilton. That's vibrant, affordable, and young at heart. It's energetic, yet relaxing and comfortable. It's completely unprecedented. It's completely true. Enjoy modern amenities and quality comfort with guest rooms featuring a 55-inch flat-screen TV and 150 channels of DirecTV, along with a free breakfast, a state-of-the-art fitness center, and more. Discover affordability without compromise at Louisville's True by Hilton.
Picari Bloodstock is consistently among the top consigners at major sales. In addition to selling $1 million-plus yearling, Picari standouts on the racetrack include Reynaldo the Wizard.
Coming after Reynaldo the Wizard, he's still in front, the Wizard, and he's won. Reynaldo the Wizard has beaten Belmont Mask.
And recent Grade 1 winner, Salty.
Here comes Salty down inside to grab the lead, and Salty has won it.
Visit the Picari Bloodstock consignment at major sales to find your next superstar.
Adina Springs Stallion, Ghost Zapper, the consistently brilliant sire of 11% black type winners, including Breeders' Cup champion and Eclipse champion female sprinter, Judy the Beauty.
Judy the Beauty! Judy the Beauty! One and a head and I thrill it!
Santa Anita Handicap winner, Shaman Ghost.
It's Shaman Ghost, an overwhelming force in the last 16th of a mile.
And Whitney Handicap hero, Moreno.
100 yards from home, and it's Moreno! Moreno to win the Whitney in a wire-to-wire score!
Ghost Zapper's 2019 stars include millionaire champion Holy Helena and unbeaten Guarana, the number one three-year-old filly in North America.
Another impressive outing here! Guarana 2 for 2, and she's an Acorn winner!
Guarana has won the coaching club, American Oaks Over Point of Honor.
Consistently brilliant Ghost Zapper, standing at Adina Springs. Visit AdinaStallions.com.
Hi, this is Calvin Burrell.
Super Saver wins the Derby for Tom Pletcher and for Calvin Burrell. Burrell's third win in the Kentucky Derby.
You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
As they make the turn toward the top of the stretch with a quarter to go at Pimlico, Real News is the leader. English beat a full attack on the outside. And just in behind that, Thomas Shelby backs off onto the inside. His current is trying to quicken for the final furlong and a half and shooting the breeze on the outside. And English Bee has Russell leading away from Real News. English Bee, Real News, resilient on the inside. English Bee, a tough Real News. Fighting every step of the way. It's going to be English B. English B wins it by a neck. English B from Real News. And Shooting the Breeze was third and Current fourth. War Film finished fifth.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum here on HRRN. Mike Penna and Jude Feld live from Colonial Downs here in Virginia. English B, an impressive winner last time, or not last time out, but a winner of the J.W. Murphy Stakes earlier this year. That was at Pimlico. Dave Rodman had the call. Graham Motion is the trainer of English B. That is one of three contenders that he'll send out in tonight's Grade 3 Virginia Derby. The last time this race was run in 2017, it was known as the Commonwealth Derby, and Graham Motion won it that day with Just Howard. He's with us now here on the Equine Forum. Busy day for him. We won't keep him long, but Graham, appreciate a few minutes here this morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, good morning. A busy night for you. Let's get right to it with those three contenders, and we'll start with English B, the son of English Channel, who won this race in 2005. Tell us a little bit about English B coming up to the Virginia Derby.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's been a hard-knocking horse. He's not a horse that showed a tremendous amount as a two-year-old, but he's just one of those cool horses that's been a little bit of a surprise and always shows up, even when he's beaten. He's not beaten very far. Just a nice horse to be around.
He's run some excellent numbers, and he's got a lot of talent. He's a horse that I kind of got onto early on in his career. I really think he's destined for some big things down the road.
I think so. I mean, look, he's had a pretty solid year, and I feel like at some point here we're probably going to want to give him a break because, like I said to Mike, he is very consistent. But, look, I thought this was a great spot. I've always had it in the back of my mind. And, you know, we get to run on a great turf course down at Colonial.
Yeah, and he has the pedigree for it. I mentioned being by English Channel, who won this race. He's also out of a Kitten's Joy mare, and we know Kitten's Joy won the Virginia Derby as well. So he's got that in his corner too, Graham.
Yeah, I mean, you'd certainly think that he would handle the distance. I mean, I didn't think he got the mile and a quarter in the Belmont Derby, but then that was also a grade one, so it's a little bit hard to gauge against that caliber of horses.
You know, I mentioned the last time that this race was run a couple of years ago, you won it with Just Howard. Fergal Lynch was aboard that day. Today you team up with Fergal again with Solidify, the son of Tapazar, the second of the three that you have in the Virginia Derby today. Talk about Solidify for a minute.
Yeah, I think he's a bit of a sneaky horse in here, this horse, because clearly last time he didn't run his race. He never got involved. It was extremely hot that day, and he just seemed unusually lethargic. So I'm really hoping I can put a line through that. We've given him plenty of time to get over it. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't get back in his game tonight. I mean, you go back to last year and he beat Sir Winston, who won the Belmont. So, you know, clearly he's got some class.
Yeah, he's a horse that maybe didn't like Delaware. Sometimes those horses, they don't run well at Delaware, and then they come back, go to a different track, and they perk up. I don't know what it is about Delaware. Maybe it's the heat or something. You would probably know better than I.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I certainly have horses that run subpar races there, and it was extremely hot that day, and I've got to think that might have played into it. I think, you know, his first race in the Tail of the Cat was solid. I really like the mile and eight for this horse, and Robbie Walsh, who gets on him every day, you know, we've talked about it this week, and he just feels that he's doing great, and he's worked well up to this race. So,
Graham, I know that Jude is a big fan of English B tonight. The horse that you send out that I think can maybe pull off a little bit of an upset, if we want to look at it that way, is Shooting the Breeze. From a numbers perspective, I think he fits, and I think his running style fits this turf course. How about you?
Look, I really had a hard time deciding how to handle this tonight because I feel like these three horses are very evenly matched. But I couldn't talk myself out of running any of the three of them, if you like. So, look, I feel very good about all three of them. We gelded Shooting the Breeze since his last start. His last start was probably the first disappointing race, really, he's run since back in the Dania Beach. So I thought it made sense to geld him. It's something that's always been on my mind. You know, it's a great family, this family. So obviously, you know, I like his chances.
All right, how about the race prior to that, the Virginia Oaks? You'll send out Mercilla in that race. Tell us a little bit about her.
Well, put a line through her last race. I mean, I kicked myself for running her on the dirt. I talked myself into it. You know, being by Arch, I thought maybe she might handle the dirt, but clearly she didn't. She struggled on it. And we've given her plenty of time. We had her entered in the Pucker Up at Arlington a couple of weeks ago, but she drew a bad post, and it's a good ship for us. It's 14, 15 hours out there, and I didn't want to send her out there and be up against it. So we circled this spot, and I feel very good about running her. Again, Robbie gets on this filly every morning. She's had some good work. It's hard to fault what she'd done on the grass before now, so I'd like to think she'll be very competitive.
Yeah, I thought she had a big shot in that Arlington race despite the bad post and everything, but when you scratched, I didn't have to worry about it.
You know, she's a little bit of a tricky filly. She's got a bit of a mind of her own. She wants to act up a little bit behind the gate, so, I mean, watch out for that tonight. But I really feel like she's coming into this well, and I think the mile and eight is going to suit her.
Graham, I know that you've had so much success here in the Mid-Atlantic states and certainly in this particular race tonight. And we've talked in depth with us being at Colonial Downs for the first time here on HRN about what this day means to the state of Virginia, coming back and being able to run this race again. Put that in perspective for us. From your perspective, what does the Virginia Derby mean not only to Virginia but to the Mid-Atlantic region?
Look, I mean, I think I was talking to Arnaud Delacour about it yesterday. He said, how refreshing is it to go down to Virginia and run on a nice, fresh turf course at this time of year? I think it's remarkable what these guys have put together. I think it's very exciting for us as trainers on the East Coast to have this opportunity. These were races that I pointed for. You know, the Virginia Oaks, the All Along. I think I won that several times. I also had some tough beats in the Virginia Oaks in the past. I remember with Bay Eagle, that was one of my toughest beats. But look, it's a great race to point for. It's a tremendous opportunity to run for good money with three-year-olds on a great turf course. And credit to Jill and to Allison and all the crew down there who have put this together.
Well, Graham, we're going to let you go. I know it's a busy day for you. Real quick before I do that, though, our poll question on our Twitter feed today, we kind of did a little bit of a prop bet that people are voting on. With those three horses in the Virginia Derby tonight, we said, okay, you can take Graham Motion or you can take the field. You're kind of like Tiger Woods against the field in this poll question, if you want to look at it that way. And I'll tell you what, my friend, you're winning so far. 70% of the vote saying they'll take Graham Motion tonight.
I was half afraid to look because I didn't want to see the smart comments come underneath it. But I'm glad to hear people have still got confidence in me anyway.
Well, Graham, we appreciate it. Thanks for the time this morning. All the best tonight. We'll look forward to seeing you down here at Colonial Downs.
Good job. Love what you guys do. Great job.
All right. Thanks, Graham. Graham Motion here on HRRN. Yeah, 70% saying they'll take Graham. They'll take their chances with his three.
I think that's a good thing to do. I wish they had an entry. We could just chunk it in.
You know, say what you want. He sounds very confident. I mean, reading between the lines with these trainers like we like to do, to me, I get the feeling that maybe he feels Solidify might be the best of the three, right? When he's maybe sneaky good in there.
Yeah.
Sneaky.
Well, you know, when you hear the trainer say he couldn't talk himself out of running any of them, you know they're all doing good. So
right.
You should always take a horse that's going to be the price. Right?
Yeah, and I think he feels pretty good about his chances in the Virginia Oaks, too, when he talked about that filly.
Yeah, I think that filly's pretty good, actually. She's definitely going to be on my ticket.
Yeah, keep an eye on how she acts behind the gate. He said she can be a bit of a bad actor when they get to the starting gate. We'll keep an eye on that as we make our way through our coverage here tonight here on HRRN. Good chance to remind you before we get to our Kentucky Bred Spotlight for this month. That monthly segment coming up in just a minute. But good chance to remind you, if you are just tuning in, an HRRN doubleheader of racing coverage. That's a rarity. We don't do that often, but we're doing it this afternoon. You'll hear the Woodward Stakes presented by visitbarbados.org. That coverage coming your way at 5:30 Eastern. Anthony Stabile, Mike Beer will be live from Saratoga, 5:30 to 6:30. Jude and I come back 8 o'clock Eastern time to bring you coverage of the Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby. You'll hear that from 8 to 9:30, presented by the Virginia Thoroughbred Association. So an HRN doubleheader. All that race coverage tonight coming your way on SiriusXM channel 156. And, of course, you can stream us worldwide anywhere you might be through our website at horseracingradio.net. All right, your Kentucky Bred Spotlight segment brought to you by the KTA KTOB. Every month we have a chance to update you on what's happening with the Kentucky Bred program. And looking ahead to the yearling sale in September at Keeneland, well, Kentucky Bred yearlings, they are the most coveted horses in the world. The Keeneland September sale has been dominated by Kentucky Breds, which have topped the prestigious auction every year since 1990. Buyers from 40 countries are expected to converge on Keeneland this September in search of their own Kentucky Bred yearlings. And how about these Kentucky Bred statistics? If you don't think Kentucky Breds get it done, listen to this. 83% of Grade 1 and Group 1 winners that were offered as yearlings at public auction in North America are Kentucky Bred. 83%. 79% of graded and group winners that were offered as yearlings at public auction in North America are Kentucky Bred. Yeah, get your Kentucky Bred yearling at Keeneland in September and see why they are the most coveted horses in the world. You can go to KentuckyBred.org to learn more. We're going to come back and get ready to wrap this one up for you. This is the Equine Forum on HRRN, presented by Red Brand Fence, manufacturing the V-Mesh and non-climb fence you see on horse farms worldwide.
Airdrie Studs' summer front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, summer front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs' summer front. Think about it.
When it comes to buying tractors, mowers, and farm equipment, look no further than locally owned Central Equipment on Red Mile Road in Lexington. A third-generation family business, Central Equipment has been servicing the equine industry for more than 46 years, working closely with the NTRA to ensure their equine clients get the best pricing on their new John Deere purchases. At Central Equipment, you'll find top brands like Exmark, Kubota, Still, John Deere, and Woods. Stop in today and experience the family-owned atmosphere or visit centralequipment.com.
Woodford Feed, where tradition merges with technology. Family-owned since 1940 and providing exceptional customer service, Woodford Feed specializes in the highest quality feed, using only the finest ingredients to ensure optimal nutrition for your horses. In addition, Woodford Feed can help with all your farm needs, including field seed, fertilizer, and weed control. So whether your horse is sprinting around the racetrack or has a foal by her side, count on Woodford Feed to provide the quality nutrition necessary to perform at the highest level. Woodford Feed, Versailles, Kentucky.
Power.
Here is a champion again! Royal Delta has won the Breeders' Cup Ladies Classic.
Passion.
And Pioneer of the Nile and Garrett Gomez have won the Santa Anita Derby.
Performance.
She wins it. Amaliant for Mike Smith with a huge run in this grade one.
Gainesway Stallion Empire Maker is back in the USA, and his first U.S. crop of yearlings are making an immediate impact. With the Bob Baffert-trained Eight Rings, the son of Empire Maker, named a TDN Rising Star following his scintillating debut and is now pointing for the Grade 1 Del Mar Futurity on Monday.
Eight Rings, a superlative performance, could not have been more impressive.
A highly influential sire, Empire Maker has produced 11 Grade 1 winners, including Pioneer of the Nile, Bodemeister, Emollient, and three-time Eclipse champion Royal Delta. Look for your Empire Maker yearling at the Keeneland September sale. Empire Maker. Standing at Gainesway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainesway Farm.
This is trainer Chad Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Red Brand Fence.
Well, in recent Blood Horse Market Watch study of leading consigners with more than 100 yearlings offered from 2014 to 2016, Millridge Sales ranked highest among percentage of stakes horses and winners of $100,000 or more. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 34 Grade 1 winners, including 8 Breeders' Cup winners. Going by the numbers, the 2019 Keeneland September consignment is almost certainly full of more stakes horses that will carry on that Millridge tradition of raising and selling racehorses. Millridge offers a quality consignment of athletes from deep families and sired by leading stallions such as Candy Ride, Curlin, Empire Maker, Ghost Sapper, More Than Ready, Quality Road, and Uncle Mo. Millridge will start showing their Book 1 yearlings on Friday, September 6th in Barn 11 and continue Thursday, September 12th from Barn 41 with Book 2. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Big night here at Colonial. We told you 10 races on the program, 4 stakes, culminating with the $250,000 Grade 3 Virginia Derby. 9 horses entered in the Virginia Oaks and the Virginia Derby, and great to see racing back here at Colonial Downs. First time since 2013.
Yeah, it's really exciting to be here for tonight's racing. I think it's a wonderful thing that's been happening here, and, you know, we've talked about ad nauseum, as you would say, what a great job Jill's done. But you can't underscore it enough, because the place is just sensational. You look out at this grass course, and it's like one of the nicest grass courses I've ever seen. And you heard Graham say he and Arno Delacour were talking about how nice it is to run on a beautiful, you know, basically pristine grass course at the end of summer. And that's a luxury that a lot of people don't have. And certainly, if they keep this meet at this same time every year, I think it's going to pick up some people's heads, and they're going to want to bring their grass horses here and run on this course.
We have about a minute and a half here left in the show, Jude, and I'm going to put you on the spot for a minute. I know you've done all your handicapping. You're ready to roll for the coverage here tonight. So who wins the Virginia Oaks? Who wins the Virginia Derby?
Well, the Virginia Oaks, I like Graham's filly a lot. I think he has the opportunity to win both races, which wouldn't be shocking. But I think Ionic looks tough. That's Arnold Delacour's horse, by the way. She's a nose from being undefeated. She's got very competitive turf numbers. She's a tremendous filly, and I think she's got a big chance. So I would put her on top, Graham's filly second, and then I like Solar Kitten a little bit for third, Ian Wilkes' filly. But, it's a wide-open race. And then you made mention of the fact that I'm a huge English Bee fan, and I am.
Yeah.
He's a really good horse, and I think he's got the best chance of Graham's horses. But Critical Data, keep an eye on him. Richard Valentine, he's a local guy, steeplechase trainer, and he's ventured into the thoroughbred business. And I think that horse is going to love the distance tonight.
And our thanks to Jill Byrne, the Vice President of Racing Operations here at Colonial Downs, to Mike Stidham, to Heather Selenisi, Debbie Easter, Ed Bowen, and Graham Motion for joining us on a busy edition of the Equine Forum. Don't forget, we are back later tonight. Well, we kick it off at 5:30 Eastern with Anthony and Mike live from Saratoga for the Woodward, and then we come back at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. All that on SiriusXM 156 and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net. Well, for our producer, Lee Delapina, and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, on site, for Jude Felt, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later tonight on HRN. Hey, go Steelers.
Good night, Barbados.